And we are talking with Colin Andrews, a man who has built a very impressive record over some 20 years of investigating crop circles, worked for on a grant for Lawrence Rockefeller for 3 years, and has was involved with the British government. A tremendous background. And you have, over those many years, Colin, put together a tremendous database. Now, all scientific research these days works from a database. It's on a computer somewhere. And, I am surprised that you are now trying to sell this database going from 1983 to 2005. First of all, what's in this database? And secondly, why are you trying to sell it?
It's really a matter of desperation. What is in the database? There are actually many databases that are talking to one another. They're cross-referenced. So you have somewhere in the range of 40,000 individual photographs that are my copyright, so that they can be worked upon and disseminated without having to go through copyright procedures for others researching it. So it's a self-contained library of photographs from the air and from the ground since 1983. It actually also does, of course, include Ministry of Defense and police photographs that I've been given access to, and other people's too, which would require other permissions outside of the, to work them outside of the research. But there are all of the details, all of the findings, the measurements, the compass bearings, the magnetometer readings, the results that have come back that have been made public from the Levengood camp and from many other camps. So it's really the whole thing, all of the early videos, the very first and unique videos, movie footage of these on the ground and, again, from the air. It takes up four rooms, one office that I had to lease with all of the, the three computers that work on this day in, day out. It takes up much of my home. And we've reached a point, Hilly, where the public, yes, are fascinated. There's still a tremendous interest, but funding has reached a zero point, and literally zero point. I had, prior to Rockefeller's generous input, and indeed the royal family in Germany also did help helped me to research for a period of 2 years, and others have made small contributions which have been very helpful. But I've spent all of my own money. My family right now, for the last many years, have only survived as a result of my very hardworking wife. And frankly, this has reached an end point. It is with great sadness. I'm embarrassed, personally embarrassed, to have it up on eBay. It's actually just come off of eBay, to be up for sale, to make it available to an institute that I hope would put it all under one roof, make it available to the public at a cost. And the cost is because, of course, that's where all my money went. It's cost many more thousands than the figure that placed on eBay, which was $250,000. Anybody that knows what's involved, at £1,000 an hour for a four-seater helicopter per hour, and I've spent thousands upon thousands of hours in helicopters and aircraft. I've traveled the world at my own expense. And so the money has run out, and whilst I am personally not broke, I have no more money to put to the research. And so therefore, this is out of sheer desperation. Rather than sit in my garage and in a leased office, which I have now I have just closed the office. And it is just a matter of saying to the world, if this means something to future research, step forward the person that can pay a small part of what it cost and make it available to the public for future research. I am willing and prepared and wanting to continue the work, but until or unless that happens, there's something comes forward, I have to move on to what is also in my heart, and that is the environment and social behavior, which I'm very interested in.
Well, now you say this was on eBay, but is off.
Yes, it goes up for, I don't know very much about eBay. I didn't actually personally handle it. Pam Jones, a friend down in San Francisco, did. She is the contact, has been the contact for it. But apparently, when you place on eBay, you prescribe for a certain length of time, and the bids go right through to the end, and that's the end of it. There were no bids. Many people showed interest. They've said if they had the money, they would do it in a snap. But it didn't sell, and it is now off, and I'm securing and wrapping and boxing everything for safety's sake. And those locations filling the vast majority. In fact, just yesterday, I was carrying many hundreds of video VHS tapes of what has to be, Hilly, if this is ultimately an important mystery for us, for mankind, invaluable information. Invaluable. But here it is, and nothing's being done with it.
Well, have you spoken to the Smithsonian, for example, or the National Geographic?
I haven't spoken to National Geographic. I'm not sure whether they received the circular either. I have given all lists and lists of very wealthy people, actually, who I know personally. I mean, I have friends that are very wealthy and people that have helped so far. But I guess, you know, times are changing and priorities are changing, and I can't really answer why. Maybe it's a dislike of even the approach to the research. I don't know. I just simply can say that I've given it my best shot, and this is where we are.
All right, Colin, we have a number of people that would like to chat with you, so please hang in there, and we will take calls right after this. Billy Rose in for Vacationing George Norrie. Guest is Colin Andrews, and let's go to the first-time caller line. Hi, where are you calling from, sir?
I am calling from the truck. I'm a truck driver, or for the UK folks, it's Norrie.
Okay.
Question for him was any of the nutrients in the crops drained of the nutrients that were in them after, you know, with the ones that were done not by the by man made?
The answer to that, not being the plant expert, but certainly the reports that I've seen, the results of the analysis, shows that their expulsion cavities, which are considered to be significant, where the contents, some of the internal contents of the plants, including, of course, some of the nutrients, but I don't think that's the way that you're asking the question, have actually been exploded out of the plant through very small holes, like a small explosion, an internal increase in temperature has caused a cavity to form where some of the contents of the plant has left and it's been exploded out of the plant. These are very small holes, and therefore some of the nutrients have left in that manner. But the nutritional content of the plant literally evaporating and being reduced in some mysterious way, I'm not aware that that has happened. In fact, my own experience, and that is simply by observing what I see in the field, Mr. Leavenwood would have a more complete scientific answer for this, presumably, and that is that ever since we've been looking at them, what I have observed is that in the more simple designs, those that I cannot find any evidence of being made by people, the nutritional quality of the plants, I would say, has improved because the plants are a darker color green, they are more healthy, they mature more quickly. It is a Leavenwood result that the root structure is more complete and more extensive in those that he considers to be made by a non-human hand. So I think the answer probably is that the nutritional content is improved, whatever that really actually means.
Okay, thank you much. That's a very good answer, by the way.
Thank you.
Let's go to the wild card line and say, where are you calling from, please? Hello? Hello, hello, hello. Are you there? Hello? Nobody there? You sure?
Are you listening to me?
I'm talking to you, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the line was open to me.
Yeah.
Well, hi there. I'm Suzanne Taylor. Hilly, we knew each other years ago. I can't quite remember why. And I didn't sound like this. I've got a bad cold. But...
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. But anyway, hello. Hello, Colin.
Hi, Suzanne.
You know, I'm sitting listening to the whole show, and I'm concerned about your listeners thinking that some of the material that Colin is presenting as factual data is just not supported by the facts. His 80-20 theory and his commentary about the Levin Good not turning in accurate research results, these are things that Colin has made up. And
I think I really did auto break in at that point.
Sure.
I mean, well, because, Suzanne, you know you're live. This is on air. What you're saying is totally untrue and is libelous, I would suggest.
Well, I would just like the reader
what I've stated, well, you really must need, you must allow me to make give you an answer, because it is known to some of your listeners that you follow me around the world with this these kind of accusations that you've made a movie, and there's all kinds of background to this that the listeners will not be aware of as you as an individual. But what I've stated is absolutely solid data. You've said it is not true. The information that I've related to Levingood's blind testing is with Levingood. BLT have received these results, as did Mr. Rockefeller. That is absolutely factual. There's nothing I've said tonight that is not factual. And if you have evidence that it is not factual, please state it on air.
Okay. Well, I don't want to get involved.
No, but it's very unfortunate. You see, because this is because Suzanne is coming from a camp where she believes everything is real, and she's entitled to that, and I respect that. But to receive personal slating of this kind simply because I have another view is not the way forward, and I think this needs to be said to her on air, because I respect what she's doing. But what advantage is it to her or to anybody else to accuse me of lying on your program tonight when that is not true?
All right. I don't want to get involved in this,
no, of course,
Colin.
Not. And I don't either, Hilly.
Well, the only point I do want to make out of this is there are many, many, many factions in this crop circle search, which is unfortunate because there are a lot of people, and I have not... I don't know about this lady at all. Meaning, I'm not talking to her. I am talking to the various people that I have interviewed over the years who are self-aggrandizing, meaning they have the answer. Theirs is the way to go. And I think it's very, very unfortunate. Of course, you know, you are presenting your point of view.
That's all I'm doing.
After 20 years of research.
That's all I'm doing.
Okay, and that's fine. And what I'm saying is it is unfortunate to me, and I find this in ufology as well, of people who somehow they fight each other rather than going out to seek the truth of whatever it is that's happening.
Yeah.
And so just taking it away from crop circles for the moment, it bothers me a great deal, Colin, since I've been in this business for so many years of investigating and reporting, that there are so many people willing to say nasty things about other people. Who's right, I don't want to get into. That's not the issue. It's not my business.
No.
But it does confuse the general public, and
it
I think
does.
That's unfortunate. I want to know the truth before I die. I want to know...
Me too.
I want to know, what are UFOs? Are they some electrical impulse that we don't understand, or are they really there by extraterrestrials?
Yeah.
You know, was Sitchin right earlier tonight when he said that the film are going to come back?
I know, I was listening, yeah.
You know, I'd like to know the answer to all these things.
Yeah, me too.
And it bothers me terribly, Colin, as I do these program after program after program, and there really aren't any answers.
No.
And I was going to make this point to you at the end of the program, but I'll make it now. You've been at this for 20 years, Colin.
Yeah.
And you cannot tell me with any specificity of what's going on with those crop circles.
No, I can't. What we haven't talked about, Hilly, and I think we did in our last program, something is going on. I mean, this is what Suzanne is missing. We're all the time we're arguing on trying to convince one another of different our individual point of view. We're missing the fact something is going on. I mean, the interaction is what we haven't talked about. I guess we did touch upon it when I asked for a Celtic cross and it appeared. This is extensive. Suzanne probably has her own stories that go with this. You know, when you put a request out there, as it were, pray for something, and it appears. The interactive aspect of this is the core of the phenomena. I become speechless with the anger, the disrespect for one another that is shown within the ranks. It's just so off-putting. I won't engage it personally. I don't go looking for it. I would not have called in, as that lady just did, to her show. It's not anything I want to get involved in.
All right, let's move along here to Wildcard Line and say hi. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
This is Jack, and I'm listening to you on KX 1190 AM.
Good station.
Good evening, Hilly.
Colin. Hi.
Thanks for taking
good
my
evening.
Call. I'm not hearing anyone in the crop circle discussion talk about the most obvious explanation, that some of these crop circles are formed from anti-ballistic missile weapons calibration made by masers, which are focused microwave generators, or lasers hung from gimbals on high-altitude balloons. This is referred to as the high-altitude balloon experiment. It's a part of the Star Wars project. They're testing a weapon. The rest is disinformation to confuse the public and keep this secret. It makes a heck of a lot more sense to believe these things are being made by the military to test a weapon than to believe that they're being made by aliens.
Well, I have heard that theory put forward before, it is an interesting one. It is indeed one that is still on the list here of possibilities. I personally have some doubts. It's not to say that I don't feel that it should be looked at. I do believe that we should look at it. The military have got a lot of stuff up there we're not aware of. I agree with you. But where I have a problem is that, for certain, this mystery, the crop circles themselves, head back into time when I doubt they had them up there. Around the time of Sputnik, we're looking at 60s, early 70s, when crop circles were appearing. They've been appearing, you know, recorded. I mean, solid evidence of them appearing well before the time that this kind of technology, as far as I am aware, was up there.
Well,
and, you know, I would also, just to add very briefly, that we have military areas in Europe, as you do here, down in Nevada and other places, where they are able and capable of experimenting with such technology without sticking them right alongside I-95 or, you know, a major highway near Stonehenge. And you know, there is also the question of lateral movement. When you beam something like microwave, it's not a problem with constructing a geometry depending upon angle and the magnitude of your energy, but you still require a lateral movement to place these things into this geometry with plants that are laid in one direction. So I have some difficulty with it, but nonetheless, I guess who knows what they're up to.
Okay, so all the time we have in this portion of the program. Colin, if you'll hang in there just another half hour, we have lots more people want to talk to you and theories, and who knows, maybe we'll solve the problem later tonight. Hilly Rose in here for Vacationing George Norrie. And George will be back with you live on Monday from the cave. My guest, wrapping us up in this final half hour, is Colin Andrews, who has withstood the slings and arrows and all the rest of it, and I appreciate that, Colin.
Thank you.
So before I do anything else, let me try and uncomplicate something in my head here.
Yeah.
You've told me that you're selling the database, but by that same token, on your website, you are selling CDs and other things. So are they part of the database, or what is it that's going on here?
Yeah, what's going on is that I am personally trying at the 11th hour to find sufficient funds to hold on, basically, and to keep it moving forward. But I doubt somehow we're going to pull it off. I mean, the cost of research, especially in England with the aircraft charges, et cetera, are extremely substantial. But what the CDs that are for sale now, it backs up my parting shots, basically, my conclusions on the phenomena. This is information that the public have to have if they're able to make any assessment. It's something that obviously, clearly, your last caller didn't have. Suzanne Taylor clearly has not seen the assessment, the Blackbird CD, the Images Catalogue, the Cosmic Artists. This is where the evidence is. This is where the data is. And that's what I'm trying to do is, firstly, make available from the database before it goes wherever it's going, whether it's going to be wrapped up and sealed for life, whether it finishes up in a university or an institute. This is information on the website tonight that I feel the public must have access to. Beyond this, it will be a close down. As far as my research is concerned, and the database, is for as long as I can hold on to it and make it safe, will be available for whoever steps forward to work with it.
Okay, and the access to that is, what is your website again?
It's www.cropcircleinfo, that's standing for information, cropcircleinfo.com.
Got it. All right, let's go to the international line and say good morning. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Uh-huh. Your first name, sir?
Jason.
Jason, all right. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. Well, my question is that you spend all this money and time investigating crop circles and extraterrestrial, and somehow it always ends up that there's military that is covering up and hiding. Why is there no investigation that ever proves that the military is actually doing that? I'm sure it'd be easy enough to prove something like that.
Well, it's proven in the sense that, well, first of all, I think the only way I can come at this is that when you're looking at anybody being secretive and planning to make something not easily accessible, then that's what they set out to do, and they're often successful. I mean, anybody, and there will be hundreds who are listening to the program tonight, I would imagine, that were certainly well aware of what's going on at Blackbird. We had the public, when it was made eventually public, were appearing around our caravan and our surveillance equipment in the hundreds. And there were many researchers involved. There were 30 of us there involved in the shifts that were manning the project, and all of them saw photographs have been taken. It's on the Blackbird CD of the military there in uniform. I have access to the film. I've seen the film and the frames on the CD. What I cannot demonstrate to you, I simply cannot get at showing you, proving to you, and have them step forward to say, we did this, and they're never going to do it. I'm not able to say to a lieutenant or a colonel or whatever, come on to the Coast to Coast program with tonight, and acknowledge to the public that you removed and you asked me to remove this videotape. They're not going to do it. They're much more likely to put people on the air to rubbish me and to discredit me than they are to come forward and tell you the truth. It's not that easy. I mean, you're suggesting that it's easy to come forward with that kind of evidence. I strongly suggest it isn't. That's what the debate on Iraq is about right now. And we're talking about countries and nations involved in lies that you can't get to. You cannot reach. It's not that easy. When people with the ability, facility, and resource plan a lie, it's a lie. And it's just very hard for people like myself to demonstrate to you, I'm a guy like you. I'm out here doing the best I can. It's simply just not easy to provide that kind of evidence.
Okay, thank you. You know, the stories that are coming out now about this disinformation are fantastic. There are stories coming out about Roswell, about the disinformation that was put out by the government on that. And there are many other stories coming out about disinformation. People that are fed lines by the government,
yeah,
and they move, they they swallow them hook, line, and sinker and say, hey, look at this. You know, wow, the government's told me this. As you point out, it's very difficult to separate the chaff from the wheat. That's
it
for darn
really,
sure.
Really is. I think it is very wise that nobody believe anything and to get out there and do the best they can themselves. I don't mean that. I don't mean to be. I'm not being rude on that. I'm simply saying, maybe to your last caller and others who might be thinking it, don't believe anything that I'm saying. Go out there. You know, phone the Rockefeller Center. Phone the people that have been given the data that Suzanne was talking about. This information exists. It takes a phone call for me. It takes a phone call for you. And, you know, it's a matter of checking it out. We're in a world full of deception, and I work through this myself every day. I cannot abide it, personally. I'm a person that wants the truth, and you become very unpopular in seeking that, too, let me tell you.
Is there a Rockefeller Center that we can go to?
There really isn't. That was a slip on my part.
Okay.
No. Lawrence Rockefeller passed away. I think now 2 years ago.
Well, I just wonder if there's a museum or, you know, a library.
No, I don't think there is, Hilly.
Okay.
He has his own PR people. There will be people that will, if you phone the Rockefeller Center and ask for a PR person dealing with Lawrence Rockefeller's business, who will know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Let's go east of the Rockies. Hi, where are you calling from?
Hi.
Yeah, hi.
I guess I'm on. This is Ron, mm-hmm. and I'm calling from Rochester, but Colin knows me from Syracuse. When we discussed the 1993 crop circle called the Columbia Formation.
Oh, hi, Ron.
Hi. I wanted to put a good word in for Colin because I've never questioned his integrity.
Thank you.
He comes from an engineering background, and as an engineer, he's always been very analytical and tried to look at every aspect of something. So
that's very kind. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, and in terms of disinformation and deception, I have a little saying myself. Fox Mulder used to use the one, the truth is out there, and my favorite one is that the lie is different at every level of government.
Okay, my friend.
I like that.
That said, I do have a question.
Okay.
There were actually two, but let me pick a little different one. I have seen a videotape of this this confrontation between the RAF helicopter and an orb, which appeared in a crop formation,
yes.
And they did a little dance with each other. And I've always wondered what Colin's take on that was in terms of what was actually happening and what that orb was. Was that something that he could explain or not?
It's not anything I can explain other than it certainly looked to be identical to all of the other orbs that have been filmed in that same area. The film that Ron is referring to was an orb filmed by a small team that I was with. He was a scientist himself who was actually holding the camera. And we were alongside the famous East Field at Alton Barnes, not too far from Stonehenge in central southern England, when we were looking at two crop formations that were in the field, and suddenly at low level, a very large military army helicopter came in directly up to us, and with its rotor blades within feet of us, this is all on film, it's been seen on television a number of times, was trying to move us out the area, although we were on a public highway, trying to move us back, and nearly hit the landscape himself. He nearly hit the hill that we were stood on, and a second helicopter came in. They were clearly in touch with one another by radio. The second helicopter, also we filmed this, made its way directly to a small orb that was at the back of the field, and the orb was in front of the helicopter. The helicopter made its way to it, and in just a matter of one or two frames of the film, suddenly the orb disappears. It just goes out. It's not there, and then appears behind the helicopter. And my opinion is that the helicopter that was keeping us out of the field was telling the other helicopter that the object was now behind it. Because the pilot, you can see on the footage, is trying, he doesn't know whether to back up to go where he's being told to go, onto the object, or to rotate on its own axis, and he's doing a bit of both. And as he then gets, it reestablishes contact visually with that object, which could only be a matter of feet in front of him, it simply disappeared altogether. So it's a fascinating piece of footage. But that's as much as I can say about it. I do think that the military were involved in some kind of operation with that orb. They knew it was there. They clearly knew it was there. And there was something else going on. We're just not in receipt of all of the information. I think the military in England are much more involved with trying to decipher what's going on than we're aware of.
All right. Guest is Colin Andrews. I'm Hilly Rose, in for George Norrie. Colin, I don't know where the time has gone, but it's just gone.
It has, Hilly.
I question that I've been meaning to ask you all night is the 2005 crop circles, one season just passed.
Yeah.
Anything unusual about it? Were they the same type of fractal designs? And, was there anything at all different in 2005?
Yeah, there always is something different. The themes tend to change year by year without going into the whether it's real or whether it's man-made. What's out there, which I think is everything, has to be embraced if we're to really come through this. They change, and some years it will be triangles, other times it will be astronomical or astronomy kind of designs. This year, what has changed in England is that they moved through a series of various patterns, but culminated in, first of all, a design which was a Mayan character, and then a few days later, a second design which included the character, but many times as independent individual elements within the very complex Mayan-type Aztec pattern. And then a third one, again, becoming even more complex, but clearly Mayan Aztec as a theme. Jaime Massan, again, to mention his name, I greatly respect him, mm-hmm. went over and had a look at those particular designs, and he is indeed working on a theory with a number of other people down in Mexico that, in fact, he seems to be saying that there is a date that he can put on that is being suggested by these patterns this year in England, an eclipse of some kind occurring on the 20th of May. He doesn't say yet which year. He is saying he's going to be releasing more information soon. I don't know any more on that than that. But how many minutes have we got, Hilly? Because there's something I'd like to refer to on that, if it's possible.
Yeah, we've got about 5 minutes.
Do we? I think that this Mayan connection starts with something that your listeners might not be aware of. The Aztec Mayan, the elder in Mexico, Tlacael, is a very elderly man now in his 90s, who I've met a number of times, arrived unexpectedly in my offices in Connecticut in early 90s, I believe 95 at the top of my head, and he came there with two interpreters, and he asked, had I seen a design that he had drawn? And he showed me in the database. The background was that he was driving in a car across Mexico. He was being driven in a car, and in his head, and this is where we're getting into the funny stuff again, he was told he has to find this design, which he sketched. It was given to him, and there was a sentence that came with it, and it was, this pattern would be at the place of the last ceremonial dance. And he came to Connecticut, asked me if I'd seen this. I had not. It was not in the records. Before, actually, that's not quite true. As he left my office, the door closed at the bottom of the stairs. My teleprinter, my fax machine started up. Reg Presley of the Trox Pop Group, who was my friend, was faxing me the design that had just appeared at that place that I've been referring to all night, Silbury Hill. And that design was the design that the Aztec, the elder Tlacael, had just left my office looking for, had appeared at Silbury Hill that day, which was indeed a place of ceremony, which is about the only thing they know about it, the ceremonies that is recorded there. Now, that was the site, that was 1995, of where this year the Aztec and the Mayan designs have shown up in all their glory. So, you know, there are many penny pieces to all of this. That was a man sent there by information he was given in his mind, in his head, was given that this was the place. And indeed, this is the place that if I were to put my finger on anywhere, we should have our cameras now and be studying in the future. It is Silbury Hill near Avebury in Wiltshire.
Because
we have real events going on there. The military are monitoring the station. They have equipment in that area. This is where the secret site was set up during Blackbird. That's right back in 1990, where real crop circles appeared. It's where they recorded the UFOs. The people that live in the two little houses, people that have visited Silbury, will be aware of what I'm talking about. Near the lay-by there, on the edge, overlooking that beautiful archaeological site, two houses that have witnessed and experienced over the years strange going-ons there with lights in the skies, and sounds coming from the fields, and the patterns appearing. This, I think, is much the epicenter of the crop circle phenomena, the part of it that we need to be studying.
And you mentioned noise a moment ago, or sounds.
Sound, yeah.
The only we really haven't talked about that at all, and I just have a couple of minutes here. But there is this strange series of sounds that people hear when these crop circles are making themselves.
Yes, reported by the eyewitnesses, which are important people if we're to believe them. They hear the sound. I've heard it twice myself. I've recorded it. BBC recorded it once, and I was there. I recorded it at Operation White Crow before the Blackbird surveillance operation in 1989. It's been analyzed by the BBC. Their footage, their sound was recorded. Ours was analyzed in Sussex University. Comes out at 5.2 kilohertz in audible frequency. It's the same thing. Whatever it is, it's a sound which in America you would I think this is the closest sound I can get to allow your listeners to appreciate it, would be a little bit like the crickets that you have here, which we don't have in England. We have these little grasshoppers, but here you have the cricket sound. It's a continuous, though. This is not it doesn't break it with interludes and interruptions like the cricket does, the insect, but this is a continuous kind of purring sound. It's a little bit electrostatic. It sounds a little bit metallic. It sounds a little bit like a high energy, which is maybe a high voltage between an anode and a cathode. Just before you get the discharge or the bang and the discharge, you get that little purring in the ionization period, and it's the same kind of sound.
Wow.
It's a very bizarre sound, but I'm sure is the sound associated with the crop circle construction.
Okay, Colin, quickly, again, your website?
www.cropcircleinfo.com.
Thank you so very much for spending these hours with us.
Thank you, Ellie.
Enjoy your vacation.
Thank you very much, and a happy Christmas to you and the listeners.
I think that's not politically correct, but it's okay.
But then we're not, are we?
Are we? Good night, Colin.
Good night, Ellie.
Well, that's it, folks. As they say, that's all. And that's not politically correct either anymore, is it? Poor Porky Pig, I tell you. All right, we've done our best. We want to thank Steve and David for running the controls and answering the phones and keeping my head on straight here tonight. This is Hilly Rose in for George Norrie, wishing you a kind and gentle Christmas and New Year.